Good morning, Region. Welcome to the Edison Community Watch Show. Each month, we bring the message of Community and Crime Watch to the Region and why it's so important for each of us to be the eyes and ears of our neighborhood. And above all, call the police if you see anything suspicious or something that just doesn't seem right. Because community is not just about me, it's about us. Our guest this morning is Phil Foreman. He is from the Indiana Attorney General's office in Hobart, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All righty, terrific. Before we get started, Phil, I wanted to point out many times in the past, I'm sure all of you heard a familiar voice on the air with me, Ann Herbert. And Ann Herbert is a Red Cross volunteer. She is currently serving in Flint, Michigan. I spoke with her this morning, and she said that we really don't realize what is going on in Flint. She asked for our prayers, and she also said that they are still in dire need of water. The problem is it's expensive to ship water there. They can get water from surrounding communities, the bottled water, but it works best if you might be able to make a monetary donation. And the Red Cross is receiving those donations. You can contact the Red Cross and make a donation, or you can contact any fire department in Flint, Michigan, and they would be more than happy to help out. It's just, you see this on the news, but I guess you really don't understand the impact of what is going on there until you speak with someone who is right in the midst of it. So, getting back to our program, Phil is with the Indiana Attorney General's office. You're relatively new to the position of outreach specialist, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been on the job for about 7 months now.
Okay. His predecessor was Linda Gergel, and she's been on the air with us, and she's also visited a lot of the Crime Watch meetings, passing out the information about the resources that the Attorney General's office offers for all of us residents. Our last show, we talked about identity theft, particularly during the holidays, and we got a lot of really positive feedback. So I thought it would be good to hear from Phil some of the specific preventative measures we can take to protect our personal information. If anybody has any questions, our phone number is 845-1100. So Phil, let's start off with the credit report. When you go online, you always hear, first of all, you always hear that you are entitled to one free credit report a year. And you go online and you see all of these different options, and of course, they're not free. So what is the website that you can go to that you can absolutely get a free credit report?
Yeah, and that's extremely important because not only are these credit reports free, they're also going to be the most accurate credit reports you can. Because like you discussed, there are a lot of different options on there if you Google search credit reports.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those credit reports you may have to pay for, and they may not end up containing all of the information necessary to decide if your credit might have been hacked and you might have been a victim of identity theft. So
okay.
The one website to go to is www.annualcreditreport.com. And it's really important to make sure it's exactly what I just spelled out there, because if you go on Google, sometimes it's not going to be the first two links that appear. A lot of times those are Google-sponsored ads and may lead you to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you look down the list and you find that exact one, www.annualcreditreport.com. And then also, because I know a lot of constituents and people in the area that need this type of service also don't have free access to internet or Wi-Fi, You can still do this through the phone and by mail as well. You can go to the telephone and dial 877-322-8228, or you can also mail a written request to Annual Credit Report Request Service, P.O. Box 105281 in Atlanta, Georgia. So there are three different options in case you can't get that internet access to get your free credit report.
Okay. And in order to keep track of your credit, to make sure that there isn't any fraudulent activity, you should really request one credit report, for instance, at the beginning of the year, and then 4 months later request for the next reporting agency, and then 4 months later for the next reporting agency, so you can see if there's any fraudulent activity going on.
Yeah, and I agree. And for the most part, that would be a good good steps to take, as what you said, spread out the three free credit reports. Sometimes that isn't always your situation or the case, where sometimes you may get them all at once, or you may get two together, one later. But a really good practice for if you're just actively monitoring your credit reports throughout the year is to one in January, one in July, one in October, November. Spread them out throughout the year, because that gives you it not only covers more time, but it also lets you sort of have a running track to compare throughout the year if you have the same ones open, closed, different accounts and things like that.
Exactly. Now, one of the options that are available is the credit freeze. And I've said this many times before. I was a victim. I got a bill from an outfit called Bill Me Later, and someone had ordered some fancy coffee machine and it from Walmart, and it was sent to Glenwood, Illinois. I did not order that, and I get this bill, and that's what prompted me to put a freeze on my credit. And can you explain what the freeze is?
Yeah, and this is really important, and this is a service that our office is really trying to advocate right now, really try to promote and explain all the details of what it actually is, because this can get a little confusing. The first time I learned about this, I had a lot of questions to try to figure this out. So, and you've probably seen, actually, it's starting to get around the newspapers. There's been a lot of commercials online, commercials on the local television stations, and then also in the newspapers about this credit freeze and how to freeze your credit. So I'll explain a little bit what it is and how it can be done. So a security freeze is a great proactive way to prevent identity theft. What it does is, after you sign up for a credit freeze, it essentially locks down your credit information. So, for example, let's say I'm a scammer in identity theft, and I get a hold of your social security number and your birthday. And I'm going to go ahead, go to the bank or go online and try to take out a credit card in your name or a loan in your name. With those two pieces of information, I could potentially do that to you. I could potentially take out those lines of credit. So the scammer goes into the bank, tries to get this credit card out. What happens is, when they give that information to the teller is then going to run your credit to see if you have good or bad credit. Because as we know, if you have good credit, you can be approved for a credit card and get a loan out in your name.
Almost any credit card,
almost
as a matter of fact.
Almost any credit card now, and yeah. So what happens is, when the teller goes to run your information, they type in your social security number and birthday, they start looking through your credit. And if it's frozen, if you have signed up for a credit freeze, the teller will not be able to see if you have good or bad credit. It will say frozen on the screen or locked, and they will not get that information. Therefore, the scammer, the identity thief that went in there to get the loan, leaves empty-handed. They can't pull your, they're not able to see your credit, so they can't give them the loan. So this is really important because, like I said, it's a very proactive way to fight against identity theft and scammers.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a free service.
Yes, and that's probably one of the most important things about this, is it's a free service offered to Indiana residents.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to different states like Illinois or Ohio, there's different stipulations to how you can sign up for this. In Indiana, it's free for all ages. For example, in Illinois, you might have to pay $9.99 a month, or you have to be 65 or older, or you have to be a victim of identity theft at least once before to qualify for this type of service. So
okay.
In Indiana, this has already been taken care of. It's a free service for Indiana residents to sign up for.
Okay. And once again, as the result of that bill me later bill that I got, and I put the freeze on my credit. I tested it, and it was during the holidays. I was shopping somewhere, and they said, we'll give you 20% off your purchase if you apply for a credit card.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to see how this works. And so I applied, and 2 weeks later, they sent me a letter of rejection in the mail for that application because they couldn't access my credit. So it does work.
Yes, it is effective, and that's a good point you brought up too, because that's something we also like to educate, because people have a lot of questions about this service. So things like that. If you this isn't going to change how you use your credit cards that you already have. Mm-hmm. You can still go out to Walmart, go out to Target, go shopping with your credit cards, your Chase Freedom cards, your Discover cards. You can still purchase things with those credit cards. But what this is doing is what you said. This is blocking people from checking your credit, looking at your credit reports to see if you have good or bad credit, therefore not being able to open that card that you were trying to get. It stops people from opening up new lines of credit.
Right. And then if you do, for instance, want to buy a car, then you can lift that freeze. And you can go online and lift the freeze. And you can ask for a specific amount of time. In other words, if you're going to be shopping for a week for a new car, you can lift that credit freeze for 5 days so the places that you go to will be able to run your credit and then you can purchase your car.
Yeah, and that's really important to be able to unfreeze it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have questions about the due because they always say, you know, after I freeze it, does it cost me to unfreeze it? Or will it lower my credit score if I unfreeze it?
Right.
No, the answer is no. They won't. It doesn't cost any money to unfreeze your account. It won't lower your credit score to unfreeze your account. So, yeah, that is really important because let's say I'm out trying to buy a car, or I'm going to get put down a mortgage or start a house payment, things like that, or take out a loan for my child's college. It's important to know that you can do it on the go, too. You can call those numbers. You can go online, unfreeze the account, and within 15 minutes after that conversation on the phone or online, it's unfrozen, and you can go about your business. And you could do it temporarily, like you said.
Right.
You can say, I want it unfrozen for a day, 2 days. And then after those 2 days, it goes right back to being frozen.
Exactly.
It's a good fail-safe, too, because, you know, you're human. Sometimes you forget.
Sure, exactly. We do have a caller. Good morning, Chuck. You're on the Edison Community Watch Show on WJOB.
Hi, Janet. This is Chuck. How are you this morning?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing excellent. Hey, so I was just listening to your expert there, and I went on to annualcreditreport.com and on my wireless device, on my smartphone, and what popped up is a box that discourages me from going on to annual credit report with a wireless device. It recommends using a standard computer. So that might be something you want to let your listeners know.
Because
they were talking about the your wireless network may or may not be secure.
And I've heard that before too. So yeah, I mean that's and thanks for calling that too, because that's not a point that always gets addressed. And it is a lot. I mean, it is safer to do things on a desktop computer or something more secure, because with the wireless networks, maybe you're out or it's using a cellular network. It may not be as secure as using it on a secure home network. So, yeah, that is a good point. It can still be done wirelessly, but it may not be as secure. So, yeah, that is a very good point.
Okay.
Well, especially since a lot of us nowadays, most of our information gathering is done via smartphone.
Absolutely.
Very true.
We are people on the go, that's for sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Chuck. Have a great day.
Thank you.
excuse me. You have something to say?
Oh, Janet, I wanted to throw in there before we leave the conversation,
okay,
the credit freeze, is how to actually sign up for the credit freeze and get that taken care of.
Sure.
So in order to get that credit freeze done, you need to go to all three of the major credit bureaus' websites or contact them via phone or send in a written request. So that's Equifax, okay. Experian, and TransUnion. You need to contact all three of them because if you don't contact all three, it won't be effective because one
go.
Company
right.
will still be unfrozen. Somebody can access that to run a mm-hmm. line of credit. Mm-hmm. So make sure to go to Equifax Security Freeze, Experian Security Freeze, or TransUnion Security Freeze. Either do it online, by telephone, or with the mailed request. And so, like I said, we're trying to really get, and so do the credit bureaus, they try to get to everybody that may not have internet access or access to a telephone, just so there are a lot of different means to get to the credit freeze.
Exactly, because identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes, not in the nation, in the world.
Yes, it's a very global issue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, we have tax season coming up, and I don't know if other people are like me, but when I do my taxes, I kind of go through my files and throw out the old so I can make room for the new. And I think shredding your documents is a really good way of preventing people from accessing your information.
It's very important, and there's sort of a myth that goes around today's age. If you ever heard any of my presentations, I talk about this a lot. With the rise of technology, and that's sort of the age we're in now, where there's a lot of technology, things you can do online, like doing your taxes online, and people tend to think paper is dead almost, that we don't use paper anymore, it's not important. And it really is a myth, because paper is very prevalent. It's still used for very important things like your taxes, like your bank statements, credit cards. Very important to continually shred any type of information you may get in the mail or have in your files, instead of just throwing it out, making sure that it is shred, unreadable, so people can't access it. Because as we were talking earlier, if you talk to any law enforcement, this is still very true. There are still people called dumpster divers. There are people that still go around neighborhoods at night looking through garbage cans. And this is where a lot of local identity theft still happens, is when people get access to those tax files or those bank statements with those sensitive pieces of information that you just throw out in the garbage can and don't shred. So I still strongly encourage to make sure to shred those type of documents and information.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. In Hammond, we used to have our own recycling department, and we were able to take our documents to be shredded. But now we no longer recycle. I mean, we do recycle, but we have an outside company that does the recycling. And a company called JJS took over the old recycling building in Hammond on Conkey Street, and they do offer free shredding. On Thursdays, I know it's on Thursday, and I want to say it's between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. You can take your documents there, and you can watch them physically shred your documents.
That's important, so, to be able to watch them.
Right, exactly. I mean, not, and you don't want to say that you don't trust them, but you never know.
You never know.
So that is a service that is available in the city of Hammond.
And I'd like to point out there, too, a lot of things I talk about when I do presentations too is not only should people, you know, consumers be very diligent on their shredding, because a lot of times we as the consumers end up doing our jobs. Business owners, doctors, lawyers, tax people that do your taxes for you. You need to be diligent to make sure that they're holding your information correctly too, that they're shredding things after they're done with them, that they're securely locking them, filing them, have a secure internet system. It's really important as consumers to make sure that you know who you're doing business with,
mm-hmm.
the types of organizations, because a lot of times organizations may not be using the safest practice to hold our information. And we see that a lot with things called data breaches that we see in the news all the time.
Sure.
So I said only from a consumer's point of view, if there's any business owners out there or heads of companies, make sure you're also doing your due diligence on shredding
mm-hmm.
documents, keeping data secure. Very important. That's how we're seeing a lot of scams and identity theft going on now, is through these online and systems and through the other side of the consumer.
Sure. And speaking of taxes that we all will have due on April 15th, there are IRS scams that are going
yes.
on right now. some of them in the, most of them in the form of phone calls. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I can elaborate on two different scams we've been seeing a lot of, and especially in this area and across the state, is the phone call version of the IRS scam. And it's not only phone calls, we've been seeing it in email form too, but specifically, you're right, the majority of these are through phone calls, where sort of it goes like this. You get a phone call at your house, and then on the caller ID it says Washington, D.C. It looks very official.
Okay.
So you answer the phone, and then they say they're the IRS. They say they're the IRS and that you owe money in taxes. You owe money in back taxes. And if you don't pay and if you don't wire that money specifically to them within a matter of 24 to 36 hours, they're going to come to your house, take your car, take your TV, take everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares a lot of people. And a lot of times
sure.
they target senior citizens because
mm-hmm.
they have access to that information. So yeah, I mean that's disperse that or diffuse that myth. That's a scam. The IRS will never contact you through the phone.
Right.
If the IRS is going to make contact with somebody, it'll be through a very standard letter that you'll get in the mail. And I always remind people that there are too many people out there that owe taxes and not enough government workers to make you feel special with the phone
right.
call. So I always remind people about that. So yeah, I mean, if you ever get a call that they say they're the IRS, that's a scam, just hang up the phone
mm-hmm.
and do not wire money away.
Right.
So that's one of the scams that are going on that target taxes and IRS.
Mm-hmm.
The other scam is the tax ID scam. It's where someone from the outside, some person gets a hold of your specific tax ID number. And then what they do is they go online, they file your taxes for you. Sounds great, but it's not. They file your taxes for you, and then they also claim the reimbursement check. Because how the system's set up, I said, we're not in charge of this, but how the system's set up is they can easily get that reimbursement check sent to them or obtain it. So what happens is they do it in January or early in the tax season. Then when it comes, if you're like me, maybe you don't start filing the taxes till a little
right,
bit later.
April 15th.
No, you get a little busy, so you get to March and April, and then you decide to file your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go to do that, you can't. They say, oh, Ms. Smith, you've already filed your taxes, and you've
right.
already received your reimbursement check. And then that after that happens, it becomes a little bit of a lengthier process to get that corrected. You have to contact the IRS, prove it's you. Go through a few more steps that make it a lot more difficult. So
mm-hmm.
best thing I can say is try to keep that tax ID number secure. And then also, I mean, I said I have to do the same and take my own advice, but filing your taxes earlier does help prevent this because you could potentially file it before
right,
a scammer.
Right, exactly. Well, you're listening to the Edison Community Watch Show on WJOB. Our guest this morning is Phil Forman from the Indiana Attorney General's Office, and we're talking about identity theft. Now, Phil, with the IRS scams and their on the caller ID, it shows up Washington, D.C., at all of the Crime Watch meetings, we tell our residents that a good rule of thumb is if you are not familiar with the number that shows up on your caller ID, don't answer it.
Yeah, very, it's true, very common sense approach to it. It's good advice. So.
Because if they really want to talk to you, they're going to leave a message.
Yeah, they will. And that's the truth. And that's what I tell even younger people. I know a lot of people over here, you know, that maybe going to Purdue Cal,
sure.
a lot of times you don't want to answer that phone right away. If it's a job application thing, you want to make sure it's at your time. You want to make sure that you're ready for a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to
mm-hmm.
call them at an inopportune moment. So yes, that's usually true. If it's important, they're going to leave you a voicemail saying that they want to talk
sure.
to you. But do beware because this is something we see a lot more. Scammers have become a lot more sophisticated with a lot of
Boy,
their scams.
Have they
so.
Ever.
They're starting to leave even voicemails. The scammers are starting to leave voicemails with fake callback numbers or callback
really?
Numbers that aren't
wow.
legitimate, that they'll pursue the scam. The scam will, it won't just be one phone call anymore. It'll be a phone call with a voicemail with hopes you'll call back.
Right.
And, so yeah, the scams, even then, you do have to be careful with the voicemails you receive.
Sure, sure. Yeah. It certainly is a different age. And we have a lot of times no idea really how easy it would be for us to become a victim. So please protect your information and be aware of anyone who's trying to get something from you. That's usually a pretty good indicator that they're up to no good. That's for sure. Yes. Well, we're nearing the end of our time, Phil. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. The next meeting of Edison Community Watch is Wednesday, February 3rd at Edison School in Hammond. That's at 6:30 p.m. Our guest will be Hammond Chief of Police John Doty, and we're also going to have the Edison Student Council there. I'm really looking forward to that. As a member of the Hammond City Council, it's always nice to see some of the young people interested in the process in their school.
That's important. Yeah,
absolutely. That's important. For a list of Crime Watch meetings, you can visit EdisonCommunityWatch.com or HammondCrimeWatch.com. If you can't make a Crime Watch or community meeting in your neighborhood and you have a complaint or concern, please let me know. You can visit EdisonCommunityWatch.com and email me through the website. I'm more than happy to help. We ask the region to think about us and not just me. Attend a Crime Watch or community meeting. It's only through our combined efforts that we can affect change. We will talk to you next month. Thank you. Hold on.
Got one call.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize we had a phone call. Dave from Highland. Hello? DFH? I guess maybe he's gone. All righty. I'm so sorry, Dave. We will talk to you soon. And everybody have a great week. Thanks. Bye.